Just before I go into it, I just want to share a quick story I read when I was doing some work on this about Thomas Edison, the famous inventor. He had 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing a light bulb. And when a reporter asked him, how did it feel to fail 1,000 times? He replied to him saying he never failed 1,000 times. It was an invention in 1,000 steps. No matter how many attempts it never quite worked, he never lost confidence in what he was trying to achieve. His confidence, however, lay in his inventing skills. Our confidence should always be in God. If we focus our eyes and our hearts on God, he can and will do the most amazing things through us. And we certainly won't need 1,000 attempts to do them unless we refuse to listen to him. Hopefully we realise after this that if our confidence lies in God, we will have no reason to ever worry. So what is confidence? Confidence is the feeling or belief that you can have faith in or rely on something or someone, or the telling of a private matter or secrets with mutual trust. Excuse me. Generally, everyone has differing levels of confidence, but at some point, most will have had a slump in confidence or a period of high confidence. This is because of a variety of reasons, and it's really important as it can affect our daily lives. I am someone who lacks confidence in most environments. I can be quite shy, generally don't speak much, and can you honestly believe that my wife sitting up there is the more outgoing one in our marriage? Meeting new people and public speaking are situations I've never really been great with, but I've learned to push past my own feelings and continue. I've also learned to stop saying no to things relating to God, because one way or another, he's always put me on a path I was adamant I could never go down. So today, I'm going to look at the second and third most mentioned names in the Bible after Jesus. Moses and David, who had differing levels of confidence. Moses was born into humble beginnings. His mum saved him by floating him down the river in a reed basket. The Pharaoh's daughter found him and adopted him. Lived for 40 years in Egypt until he killed an Egyptian foreman. He then spent 40 years in the wilderness. Because of that, he was part of the 10 plagues that helped set the people free from Egypt. He then parted the Red Sea to escape capture from the Egyptians again. And after he disobeyed God one last time, God then told him he wouldn't be the one to lead them to the promised land. Moses lacked confidence in himself, as shown in Exodus 3, verses 11 and 12, when he said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And then God replied, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you, it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." This example shows how Moses thinks, but what he sees as his downfall is the very thing that God wants to harness and use. He protested with God that he was a nobody, that he couldn't speak properly as he had a slight stutter. And God shows him he is the one doing the miracles. He is the one working through us. In Exodus 4, verses 10 to 12, Moses again said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." God is in control of everything, even our defect. At one point, Moses was living in exile because the last time he displayed some form of confidence, he ended up killing an Egyptian foreman trying to defend the Israelites. Now God was asking him to go back and defend the Israelites again. Moses probably couldn't imagine anything worse, but this time it was different. God was going to give him confidence in something greater than himself. God is not leaving Moses alone to depend on his own strength and wisdom. God this time will be with him. So Moses' confidence is not in his own boldness, but in God's power. And to show Moses that he can trust him, God performs wonders. In Exodus 4, God showed Moses he had total control of humans, animals, and the elements around us. He turned the staff into a snake. He turned Moses' hand white with a skin disease and turned water from the river Nile into blood. And after God showed Moses who was really in control, he started his onward journey to Egypt. One thing I have learned, and what Moses also learned, was when God calls us, we can have confidence he will provide everything we need. Even in times when we think our past disqualifies us, God will often use that very thing for his glory. Moses got in trouble because of his passion to defend Israel. And although what he did was wrong, God would later use that same passion to deliver them from Egypt. As I said before, I'm a person that lacks confidence in most situations. I can be socially awkward, quiet, dismissive of opportunity. And standing here is a massive step for me. Since becoming a Christian, especially serving with the youth or attending conferences, I've tried to say no on many times to many different scenarios, but one way or another, God will guide me onto a path I never thought possible for me. A perfect example was on a recent trip to Mexico. I'd never ever spoke publicly before. My Spanish is below average at best. And I definitely lack confidence reciting scripture. But still, our granddad called me up at his church to pray in front of over 1,000 people for them and their salvation, with my wonderful wife translating for me, of course. And I was certainly not as confident as the next person we're going to look at appeared to be. David, he was the teenage boy who defeated Goliath against all odds, grew into a successful military general, who then became the greatest king in ancient Israel. He was a talented singer and musician, and also authored many of the Psalms. There are some parallels between Moses and David. They have similar stories. Both were shepherds, both ended up in the wilderness. But while Moses went into his shell, lost confidence, questioning and doubting why he was in that situation, David spoke to God in the wilderness and gained confidence through it. By reading Psalm 27, we can hear how confident David was. The first three verses read, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." One thing that helped strengthen David's favor with God was that he tried to put God's will first. He did have an opportunity to kill King Saul, who had tormented him and previously tried to kill David, but it was also against God's wishes to kill an anointed one on the throne. In the beginning of 1 Samuel 24, Saul was searching for David with a small army. He went into a cave for a short toilet break, and David was hiding in the shadows at the back of the cave when he sneaked forward and cut a piece of cloth from his robe, but he refused to kill him as it was against God's wishes. Although David was confident, he did occasionally exude overconfidence or arrogance. Two notable instances are the murder of Uriah, one of his soldiers, to cover up his sin, and in the next situation when sleeping with his friend's wife. David committed adultery against his friend because the power God gave him made him feel untouchable. Seeing how David acted made God upset, and in the next scripture, God then took his newborn son as retribution, as just to show he was always in control and to obey him. In 2 Samuel 12, verses 13 and 14, David speaking to the prophet Nathan, saying, "I have sinned against the Lord." Then Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this, you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die." This wasn't something God done lightly to prove his power, but rather as a consequence of David thinking he was above the law and justice of God. Although vastly different people, they both had two things in common. Moses and David both trusted God. Moses' lack of confidence was overcome by confidence in God's power and presence. And David's confidence in God was born out of genuine relationship with him, then trusting in his power and presence. And secondly, they both got in trouble when acting in their own way. Moses and David killing people is a sign that we should always put our trust in God. Replacing that with confidence in ourselves will only ever lead to trouble. Even though they both did terrible things, God also gave them another opportunity when they repented. And that is the same God that we all have. A God of mercy, a God of second chances, and a God that can do wonderful things regardless of who we are or where we came from. The lesson in both situations is that our confidence should be in God alone. If you lack confidence, he will make up for that if you trust in him. And if you're self-confident, God has various ways of reminding you he is the one who is truly powerful. So you learn to trust him more than you trust yourself. He is greater and more powerful than we could ever imagine and knows us better than we even know ourselves. His goodness and love for each one of us can never truly be measured, and for that we are truly blessed. His goodness is a blessing that should give us confidence if properly harnessed. And now I'm going to look at three different types of confidence we tend to have in our life. Firstly, we can have self-centered confidence, also known as arrogance, where you're overconfident for no apparent reason because you think you know better than other people. In the book of Samuel, King Saul, who was the first king in ancient Israel, was someone who was very self-confident and arrogant. He took it upon himself to act as priest by offering sacrifices to the Lord. He then disobeyed a command from God, even though he tried to justify it by saying it was for the Lord. He still put his will against God's. And rather than repent for his many wrongdoings, he then chose to seek guidance elsewhere in a medium. In 1 Samuel 15, we see what happens to Saul when he goes against God's word. Saul was told by God to completely destroy the Amalekites and wipe out the village he conquered. But rather than obey, he kept sheep and cattle from the plunder, going against what God had asked of him. The prophet Samuel then replied to Saul, telling him because he rejected the word of the Lord has rejected him as king. Another verse in the Old Testament also speaking about arrogance is Jeremiah 50, verse 32. The arrogant one will stumble and fall, and no one will help her up. I will kindle a fire in her towns that will consume all who are around her. This paints a very dark picture of what lies before us if we become arrogant in our choices. Secondly, we have perfection-seeking confidence. This is gained by practice, repetition, or knowledge. For example, a footballer taking a penalty kick, or tasks that we all complete daily at work or school. In Joshua 1, verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Living with and practicing the commandments in daily life in the Old Testament meant you would be prosperous and successful. This is like the new covenant that we have today with Jesus in our lives, that peace, joy, and blessings will come to us if we submit to God's will for us. And also in John 8:31, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings." And finally, we have faith-filled confidence, having faith that it will be better tomorrow and that God is always with you. In Philippians 1, verse 6, Paul said, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Also, later in Philippians 4, verses 10 to 13, he says, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." These two verses show the faith Paul had in God. In the first verse, he uses the word certain. He was sure that God will continue his work in us. And at the end of the second verse, he said he could do everything through Christ who gives him strength. That's an amazing thought that we have, that anything we want is achievable as long as we have faith in God. So with this in mind, how can we live with confidence in our own lives? What is God asking of us? He asks us to obey, to practice, to pray. Sometimes to step outside our comfort zone, like Moses or me in this situation. God maybe uses you in ways you could never see yourself. Always take one day at a time, positive or negative, because tomorrow's a new day. Talk to yourself positively. Make a list of your positive qualities and remind yourself of how God sees you. I personally can be my own worst critic, but I always try to remember that God made me in his likeness. Realize you're not alone. Wherever you are, God is always with you, and every single person here also has a church family to call on. This is going to be the hard bit. God is continually working in our lives. As some of you already know, me and Kayla are moving back to Mexico. Weeks ago, Kayla had a dream and a vision that we would go back and help, and didn't want to come to me in case I felt pressure to agree to the move. And then that same day when I was at work, a voice in my head said to me that it was time to go and get my hands dirty. And now, we always thought we would go to Mexico, but my picture of Mexico was more the sun lounger and the beach type. But obviously God's plan was slightly different from mine. We try and support back home just now, but like I said, there was a voice that said it was time to go and get our hands dirty. So we've decided that we're going to go back. Kayla leaves soon and I leave towards the end of the year. And although we're both super excited and it can and might be really dangerous, we're sure God will walk with us and equip us when we get there, because as of now, we have a plan to fly over and we have a roof over our head and that is it. But this is what God wants. And I certainly never thought I would be in such a privileged position to serve the most needed communities. But God's plan was always bigger and better than ours. And we will miss everyone, but hopefully some can make the journey over. And our wonderful media team can post the service online for us to keep watching. To wrap this all up, I want to leave you with these final few points. And apply to me specifically. We almost all lack confidence when doing something God asks, but we don't need ever to rely on ourselves. If God calls us into something, it's because he will equip us to carry out his work. Our confidence grows as we obediently follow what God's asking of us. The more we practice obeying, the more we experience God's goodness. And Moses learned through a lifetime of obeying God that he could have confidence in him. And he passed that confidence on to Joshua. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And the author of Hebrews tells us the same thing about Jesus. In Hebrews 13, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Jesus has promised he won't forsake you. He's always there. Even if you're having a hard time, he knows your purpose and will help you fulfill it if you submit to him. And I'm pretty sure that I'm not the only person that has suffered from lack of confidence or maybe stepping into a position where God asked us to go. And I would encourage people after this to ask somebody to pray for them if it's something God's asking them to do and they're unsure or they lack confidence to take that step, or if they just struggle in general with a lack of confidence, like ask for prayer for that. This has been really hard for me, but there's so many people managed to get me through this. I still can't believe I'm standing here.